And we are live here on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. What's up, guys? Nick Scripp here on the P2W Fantasy Podcast. Still trucking it away in the quote-unquote off-season, but we still have football going on this week because it's Super Bowl week. But we have some really good topics here today. I have two great guests on the podcast here for the first time. Excited to have both of them on. So before we talk about anything football-related, fantasy-related, I want to make sure that I introduce both of these guys and let them talk about themselves because they're very active in the fantasy community here in their own ways. So we'll kick things off at the bottom of the screen here. I have Christian, who contributes to Triple Play Fantasy. Triple Play, obviously, is a really good brand and great set of friends of mine. I've been friends with those guys since I started up in the space. So really love the Triple Play team. You also write for Fantasy Pros and Dynasty Nerds. Co-host of the Prospect Series. You were just talking about diving into a baseball draft already. You're doing a bunch of contributing for football as well. So, Christian, thanks for coming on the show, man. Can you let everybody know where to find you on social media and then what you got going on?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. You know, we've been interacting for a while on Twitter and, you know, finally able to get on a show together. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, no, you hit it. I started with Triple Play about a month and a half ago and just been grinding ever since. Was able to get on with Fantasy Pros and start writing baseball content for them. Started writing Dynasty Football content for Dynasty Nerds recently as well. I have that prospect series called The Call-Up on the Triple Play YouTube channel with Marty Tallman, my co-host, and we're going through all the prospects and stuff in baseball for all 30 teams. So that's been going, that's been blowing up too. It's been a crazy ride. We were just talking about it, but if you would have told me a couple months ago that I would be doing all this stuff, I would have laughed at you and told you you're crazy. But yeah, it's been a fun ride. I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah, we were talking before the show here, all three of us, just how like it starts with something small for content creating and then it just kind of spirals into bigger and bigger things. So I think we all three of us can relate to that. And we all kind of jumped into things at different times in our own way. But here we are on the same show here in February. So it's awesome. Also on the show, my buddy Trav, co-creator, co-host for True North. If you go to their website, they have so much stuff on their articles, rankings, their podcast information. They got a bunch of data on there as well. Also part of the Fantasy Points Media Group. I was able to be on the True North show twice, I believe. You're one of like two or three other fantasy t-shirts that I rock all the time here. Huge fans of what you guys got going on. We were just talking before the show about how big of a team you guys have. I mean, you guys got a lot going on. It's not just one podcast, one show. There's a bunch of different spider webs of the True North team. So, Trav, thanks for coming on, man. I'm glad you are on my show now. I've been on your show. Can you let everybody know where to find you and then talk about True North and what you got going on?
Yeah, man. My Twitter handle is just down below there, but I'd love everybody to go check out True North FFB. That is us on the socials, and then TrueNorthFFB.com. Palm is the website. And first, Nick, I want to say it is an honor to have Mr. FF Fit Club looking shredded in the True North gear. You're the only one who's got the red shirt, Nick, and it looks really, really slick. So I appreciate that. And yeah, just kind of rocking away at the True North content machine, so to speak. Not necessarily at all busy as Christian is, because that's quite the plate you have, my friend. But yeah, we're doing good. Ty and I are taking a couple weeks off from the show just to do some content planning for the brand as a whole and for our show. And so it's been a lot of fun. The off season's kind of nice to get to breathe a little bit because we haven't had a week off in a while, but it's a blast nonetheless. And I get to network with fine folks like yourselves.
Absolutely. We talked about it before the show. You guys have in-person shows going on, or you guys started that up. So that is awesome. I don't think enough people get to do something like that. So seeing you and Ty next to each other in the same room, that's super professional in itself. So as mentioned before, True North and P2W Fantasy, part of the Fantasy Points Media Group, Triple Play as well, which Christian contributes to. So go check out fantasypoints.com, one-stop shop for everything fantasy related. I'm on that site every day looking at things for my own content, so go check that out. What we got going on today, the three of us, we're going to talk about content creating a little bit, dynasty trade targets, and then we'll touch on the Super Bowl, which of course is this week. So if you're checking this out, stick with us.
I play to win, no fear to give. I feel what I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best, don't trip, they don't understand. I play to win, yeah, I play to win, I play to win. Yeah, yeah, play to win, I play to win. Oh, play to win, I play to win. Yeah, yeah, play to win, I play to win.
All right, so the three of us before the show, we were kind of touching about content creating. You know, we started in different ways, and then it just kind of, again, spiraled into to bigger things, and we keep trucking along this off season here. So I want to start things off. I want to touch on content creating a little bit of each show, because I feel like the space is so big with people that do a little bit of writing or do a ton of something else, and there's a lot of people that want to dive into it. So it's cool just to talk about it, just because three of us have been doing stuff actively. But what's something this past season, or as of late, you've learned as a content creator, maybe from this past season? Could be from anything, from writing, from podcasting, from giving out advice. Trav, what's something that comes to mind for you, something you learned?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I learned this year, and this is our fourth season kind of in the game, but the biggest thing that I learned is that it's okay to go through creative peaks and valleys. I had a very interesting season myself as kind of, I guess, the leader of the True North crew. I actually had my fourth child about 3 weeks into the season. And so it was really crazy. We just launched a website right as the season was starting too, so it was a really busy time, and there was times where I didn't necessarily feel like I could give it my all necessarily for the team. I'm super thankful I have a team that I could lean on for that, but kind of went through some peaks and some valleys, and I'm hitting a peak right now, which is really good. So I think the key thing for me is just don't let yourself get so in a rut that you doubt yourself, because if you've come this far, you probably have that passion. And then just make sure you have good people around you, because as my example states, it was imperative for the brand to have such good people on our team that I could lean on. And now I'm back in the game. I got a bit of a routine with the family life, and we're ready to get dialed for 2022. That's for sure.
I really like those pieces there, especially, the peaks and valleys, like you mentioned. I feel like there's a thought sometimes that everything is going to be, you know, super creative juices and everything's going to be tons and tons of views and hits and everything's a smooth ride. But it is a bit of a roller coaster at times. I think that was kind of going to be part of my point, was that, you know, things are going to hit, things are going to miss, but being consistent and having kind of the same sort of mentality flowing is important. And you talked about having good people around you. I agree to that a ton. There's a few people I talk to on a daily basis, and we've had some conversations where I'm not going to throw out their names, but I've had people come to me and say, like, man, you know, I don't know if what I'm doing is the right thing in this space, and I feel like I'm in a rut and this and that, and having somebody to kind of vent to, I feel like is big time. I do want to, on a side note, there's guys in the comments, Toronto Dave's been giving a lot of love to Trev and the rest of the crew here. Also got our guy D Brown, who we've been on a show with too. Great guy right there. Christian, any thoughts on what Trev said? And then let me know something that you've recently or this season learned from content creating.
No, I mean, he definitely hit it on the nose when he said there's going to be the ebbs and flows, you know, the high points, the low points. You just never know. Biggest thing I've learned is that you can't be scared to throw your stuff out there, because you never know what's going to happen. I was one of those people. I was so scared to release my own stuff. Like, I was creating my own dynasty rankings and doing all this stuff, you know, just doing a bunch of research and then, like, using it for myself. And, you know, cool, like, yeah, you know, I'm doing all this extra effort to help me, but, you know, I could be releasing it, and you never know the impact it's going to have on somebody else and what it might cause them to then go out and do. You just never know who you can be a role model for out there. I mean, like, I'm going to say it again. I never would have, in school, I hated writing. Writing was my least favorite thing to do. And now I'm writing for two different pages. Like, I'm on YouTube doing videos. I'm doing podcast series. Like, I'm on this show with you. Never would I thought I would have done it. But it's just about going out there and just enjoying it, because that's the biggest thing. If you're not enjoying it, then why do it? But if it's something you really do like doing, you know, go out. Like I said, you never know what could come from it.
Yeah, the OG point that you were making too about you know, not being scared to do things. I think a lot of us had to come out of our comfort zone at some point, and you kind of find like some things are for you, some things are not. Maybe you try certain things out and, you know, it works and others don't. I think that's kind of something I've also learned this season is like hits and misses with trying different things, because I feel like there's certain things I tried, like with some video content, that like swung and missed. I tried doing like hour long game previews that were terrible. I got like shit reviews, but then I do these board sessions and I just like tried that out and they were like my biggest hit that I've done. So it's just like not being scared to whiff on things and just like go out there and I'm laughing at the comments here. D Brown mustache the game, and we got I'm Nick's role model, Kevin. So yeah, I got good guys in the chat, but good points all around there. Anything else that stands out as a learning point, or we pretty much on the same page there?
No, that's beauty. I like that. You gotta put it out there to find out, right?
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so last piece of content creating. Let's say there's guys watching the show right now, which there might be, and they're thinking like, hey, maybe next season or maybe in this off season, I try to give it a go. I try to write or podcast or whatever. What's a simple piece of advice we can give to anybody who's watching this that might want to get their feet wet in the content creating space? And Christian, what's something that comes to mind you can say to somebody?
Yeah, for me, it's going to refer back to what I said and not being scared. Me, when I first started sharing it, I actually just started to DM just random people my rankings and be like, hey, you know, I would love some feedback on this. Can you, you know, tell me what you think? And then from there, you know, just kind of snowballed and got bigger and bigger. And I built that confidence over time. So like me, if I'm not a big person out there on social media, but if you want to send me something, you know, I'll go ahead and I'm always open to giving people feedback and trying to build that confidence and helping them, you know, grow in the space, because the people at Triple Play did that for me. And you know, I'm just looking to pay it forward and help those people that are trying to get in it, because you never know who you're motivating to do something bigger and what they might become and how they might impact the space or somebody else down the line. That's what you got to do it for. You know, you do this stuff because you enjoy it, but you got to help others too that are trying to find, you know, something to cope with whatever they're going on with in life, and that this might be their outlet.
Yeah, and you'll find tons and tons of people that you might not, you know, expect to be somebody that can be a source for you, that all you have to do is reach out one time you know, they can be a good source. I know this past week. And there's a lot of good people out there that are willing to spend 5-10 minutes just to give you some advice about anything. I had Josh Larkey DM me a piece of my content, and he was like, hey, like some along the lines of like, this is pretty good, but like I would change it next time to be better visually in this way. And like, I mean, I was appreciative of that. It wasn't like I took it personally or something like that. It was a good piece of advice. And there's been times where, you know, I've reached out to certain people and I've gotten tons of DMs about, you know, whatever, just writing this or about podcasting for the first time. And a lot of people are going to be open to it. You'll run into some that are not. I mean, I know some that I've run into that have not been, but I'd say the majority of people are pretty open about helping each other out in some sort of way.
Yeah.
Trav, any thoughts on that? And then let us know as we close this out, a piece of advice you give to somebody looking to create content.
Yeah, no, I think those are all really good points. I think just kind of sort of in a similar vein there is just to really like kind of cherish your friendships that you make out here, right? Like we got D Brown, we got Daver in the chat. Nick, I know you're tight with Kev in the chat, who's talking shit about your show sheets there, which is hilarious. Of course. Kev, you're great on the show as well, by the way. Love the P2 dub show always. But yeah, the friendships are the biggest thing, right? Because we all get in it for different reasons and we're all in here. Some of us are like, I am making money doing this and there is no other option. Some of us do it for a hobby and then we're like, okay, let's make some money. Some of us want to make some money. Then we decide it's just going to be a hobby. But I think the biggest thing that we can kind of a way to get guaranteed ROI on your investment into fantasy football is to take some friends away from it, right? Like I've got probably, you know, 20 plus people who I would consider personal friends that I would, you know, talk about my life issues with or whatever it might be, right? Like D Brown in the chat, we're always getting on video calls and I've got a standing Friday meeting with the True North crew where whoever can make it on Friday just kind of jumps in and we shoot the shit for a little bit, right? So those are kind of the biggest things that whatever comes of this, I know that I'm going to be able to take that back. And then just be creative and find stuff that you're passionate about doing, right? Like Christian, you were saying that, you know, at first you didn't think you were into writing, but then you realized that you really liked it. And now you're writing for two sites. And so like, if there's something that you're not liking, you're not necessarily not a fit for fantasy football. You know what I mean? You can find a different avenue to get your content or your word out. Even like our buddy brother Matt with Sons of Dynasty is doing some killer production and graphic work for the SOD, and he's behind the scenes in every single one of their shows producing, and in the True North chat he's just like having a blast doing it. So I love different ways for people to find their creative juices and stuff, so just kind of keep that and just don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, good points. Good points all around. You don't have to be everything too. You don't have to be a podcaster. You don't have to be a writer once a week. You don't have to be somebody that comes out with rankings. I feel like Travis saying, finding things that you actually enjoy doing and then rolling with them is good, because it shouldn't be a chore, right? It should be something you want to do. And when you want to do things, you make better content at the end of the day and have better end products. So good stuff all around there. And again, I just like touching on the content creation, just because a lot of people have different perspectives on it, and there's a ton of people that want to get into it, and it's an open community. It's never too full of a market of content creators. It's not, because it's a huge ass space. So let's shift over to Dynasty now. Dynasty. So, you know, we do have the Super Bowl this week, but we're going to have like 65 shows about the Super Bowl itself. So we're in the off season right now. Some people still, you know, are looking at trades. Some people are looking to acquire new players or off haul some guys. So I ask these guys to come with some Dynasty trade targets. And I always think it's a good topic because, you know, person to person, it's going to vary. Guys that I am targeting, maybe Trav doesn't, you know, it doesn't faze him at all, or Christian, he's on the fence about a guy. So it's interesting to hear different perspectives. So we'll go through each position: QB, running back, wide receiver. I think we'll hold off on the tight ends. We'll save that for another time. But QB position. So somebody you believe is a guy for you personally that you are looking to target in this off season. And Christian, why don't we start with you?
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start off by saying that I made this decision before the latest news broke.
It's true. I vouch. He did.
As can I.
I have been pounding the table for people to go out and buy Tua this offseason before last season ended. And, I mean, you think back, this man has had four different offensive coordinators, four different systems he's had to play in the last 4 years, going back to his last year at Alabama, including the two OCs he had to put up with this past year, plus all the trade rumors surrounding him with Deshaun Watson, the fact that they would pull him from games at the end, you know, when they were trying to win for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And don't get me wrong, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick just because he goes out there, he's a gunslinger, he showed it that game against the Raiders a couple seasons ago where he just chucked it downfield and led them to the game. But, I mean, before Joe Burrow had that Joe Burrow season at LSU, Tua was supposed to go number one. People were tanking for Tua, and there's a reason. It's because that man is talented. And what he was able to do with no offensive line, really no run game whatsoever with him, and then with the minimal weapons, he had Jaylen Waddle, and he – you know, that connection going back to Alabama, they continue to produce that into the NFL. And, you know, Tua also didn't have a training camp coming off that hip injury. And so that's another thing. He hasn't really had the chance to go out there and show himself. And I feel like now with Mike McDaniels and what he's been able to do, you know, coming from that Shanahan coaching tree, and Shanahan's brought him everywhere he's gone. There's a reason behind it. That man is a magician on the offense. And I'm going to be excited to see what they can do now. You know, re-sign Gesicki. They still have Devontae Parker. They still have Waddle. They're all the reports saying that they're going to go get a run game. That's just going to support him and then build that offensive line. You're going to see, you know, Tua's going to show out this season.
And with Tua, something that really impressed me this season, I mean, sometimes it seemed like, you know, maybe the upside was a bit limited, but we also saw, you know, a handful of games where, you know, he scored 20-ish points or more, but he had several games of 80 80% or higher for his completion percentage. And in these games, it wasn't like he was throwing the ball 15 times. He threw the ball 40 times at an 80% rate, 31 times at, you know, above 81% for his completion rate. And we've seen what him and Waddle obviously look like. And I feel like that's something that's going to grow. And this is an offense that I think is going to keep changing for the better, I think. So I also do like Tua. I think he still gets like a lot of shit for random stuff all the time. But I think we've seen plenty of games this season where, you know, when he's throwing for a decent amount of yardage and his completion rates there, if he can be more consistent in the touchdown category, he's a guy that probably doesn't cost you, you know, the world right now, but can pay off, especially in those super flex leagues. But Trav, any thoughts on Tua, and then let us know your guy after.
Yeah, I've previously been a little bit lukewarm on Tua just because I wonder about his ability to put an offense kind of on his back long term, and definitely realizing the situation around him previously has been awful. Like, I definitely, Christian, expected that run game to be a lot better this year with Myles Gaskin coming in as the confirmed starter, but that didn't really pan out. But I am very, very curious to see what the Mike McDaniel offense does have in store for Tua, because if that comes from, you know, the Shanahan tree, it's going to be talked about quite a bit. If he instills some of those concepts and maybe is a little bit more pass heavy than Shanahan's been in San Francisco, I think it's going to be really nice for Tua, because I think he offers a little bit of sneaky rushing too, and especially a year out from that hip injury, that's going to be interesting to see Tua with a young kind of offensive mind at the helm, as opposed to you know, the revolving door that he's had in the past.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay, fellas, my guy is a little bit pricier than Tua, that's for sure, but I think it's somebody that's being a little bit slept on nonetheless, and that would be Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I think it was, you know, a tough season for him this year. He did get hurt, only played 12 games. But I mean, in those 12 games, guys, you look and he was the quarterback 15 still. And on a points per game basis, he was the quarterback 6. So I think, like, for me, quarterback 6 on a points per game basis is pretty much Lamar's floor. And I have him actually as my dynasty quarterback 3 in my dynasty rankings. Obviously, we know that rushing work is godly for him. In the past 3 years, only 3 players total, regardless of position, have more rushing yards than Lamar. And that's Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, and Zeke Elliott. And then this year you take a look and he had more rushing work in the red zone per game. And then inside the 5, he had 6 carries in 12 games, whereas last year in a full season, he only had 1 carry inside the 5. And I think some of that definitely would come with the injuries that they saw at the running back position. And we definitely saw a shift in the offense too, because they threw the ball 10 more times per game than they did last year. They were dead last in that category the previous 2 years. They were 9th as far as passing volume per game this year, which is kind of uncharacteristic. And I think it has to do with the defense sustaining a bunch of injuries and kind of bleeding yardage through the air. But I think if those things kind of meet in the middle, I think Lamar Jackson is just a super, super safe quarterback who offers that Konami upside. I mean, I would trade Kyler Murray for Lamar Jackson, no problem. I think you could probably go out and trade Justin Herbert for Lamar Jackson in certain leagues, just because some people are kind of playing off that hotness and kind of forgetting about Lamar after he missed so much time towards the end of the season and just the dysfunction that was around that Ravens team. So I think you can go out and you can buy Lamar at those hefty prices and it's still going to pay off for you in the long run, because he's just such a safe, safe player, even as what would seem like an unsafe profile as a rushing quarterback who's pretty inaccurate passing the ball. But I think it's a lock.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the price might be higher, but sometimes when these guys don't play for X amount of weeks, you know, people, like you said, kind of forget what he was and what he is. And being the second, being number 2 for QB rushing yards this season with only playing 12 games, yeah, I thought was insane. You know, I put out like a graphic the other day, and he was number 2, and he was not number 2 by far behind Jalen Hurts. So I think that says a lot. I also think that if you look at some of the earlier games in the season, and he still, for whatever reason, I see tweets all the time, he still has this like stigma of being, you know, just a rushing quarterback. But we've seen plenty of games before the bye where he had 37 attempts, 43 attempts. And in these games, he's throwing for 316, 442. So, I mean, those are maybe asterisk weeks, but it's not like He's only attempting 20 passes, and he's not getting 200 passing yards. I think this offense actually looked different this season, and it might have had to do with the defense. It might have had to just do with them changing up their scheme a little bit, because they might continue to do that, because this team has been a team that's like looked like a contender, but never actually been one the last few years when it comes to actually making a run in the playoffs. And looking at the team that they have, with Andrews was the tight end one for fantasy, which we can relate it to actual football. And then Marquise Brown, a lot of people don't like Marquise Brown, but him and Lamar actually looked pretty decent earlier on in the season, and Rashad Bateman trending up. So I think there's a lot of good directions to why he is some people's QB3. And I'm just as high, Trav, on him. And I know you mentioned Kyler, and I'll be hot takey, and I'll say I'd prefer Lamar over Kyler as well. But that might not be the consensus. I actually don't think it is. But Christian, give us your thoughts on Lamar Jackson too. And hey, on this, we can disagree on anything too. We don't have to high five each other. So any disagreements, we're good. But yeah, give us your thoughts.
Now, I think the biggest benefit for Lamar this year, which sucks to say because I'm a huge J.K. Dobbins fan, but was the fact that his running backs went down. I mean, that really, you know, it forced him to develop, to learn, to really throw the ball. And, you know, they brought in Rashad Bateman. They used Devin Duvernay. Shit, they were even using Devontae Freeman in the pass game. Yeah. You know, they were finding ways to get him to throw the ball. And that was different from years past. You know, this year, he didn't really look comfortable in the pocket, but he stood in there. He wasn't looking to escape as soon as the ball was hiked. And that was the biggest, you know, improvement for him. And yeah, you know, it sucks. He went down with that injury, and we saw him and Marquise Brown really grew that connection from the beginning of the season. You know, when he got hurt, it kind of tailed off, you know, and then you had these other quarterbacks come in and they really started targeting Mark Andrews. But that's kind of what the backup quarterbacks do. They target the big tight ends and they benefit from that. But no, I'm huge on Lamar too. And you say you can trade Justin Herbert for him now, but you could get Lamar plus for Justin Herbert right now. And I'm doing that 10 times out of 10 easy.
Love it.
But my guy has some similar upside, but I'm not trying to be a Bears homer or anything, but it's going to be Justin Fields for me, who also probably doesn't have the cheapest of price tags, but also it's not like, you know, year one, he was a top 10 guy or something along those lines. He actually missed some time. He actually had some iffy signs too, but I'm all in 2022. Week 8, QB5, week 9, QB10, week 14, QB10, week 15, QB10. He played in 9 games with 70% or more of the snaps. In 4 of them, he was a top 10 quarterback. So percentage-wise, I mean, 44% of the time, he's a top 10 quarterback. It's a small sample size, but he actually played against, you know, San Francisco and Pittsburgh and Green Bay in some of these games. Some of the good signs I saw out of Justin Fields this year so far, he showed signs of having a decent completion percentage. He had a game of, you know, over 70%. He had a game of high passing yardage, 291 passing yards. He had a game of 103 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. He's had multiple scoring games where he's thrown 2 touchdowns or rushed for a touchdown. We talked about the Konami code quarterback. We obviously know that's a cheat code for fantasy, and just seeing both passing and rushing upside of this guy. I'm really into his dynasty value. What needs to change? Obviously, there's got to be some things that need to change. They need to protect him better, and he needs to get rid of the ball better, because he took far too many sacks, 10th most sacks, but he only played in 12 games this season. The turnovers need to be limited too. He threw probably too many interceptions, probably fumbled the ball more than people wanted him to. But again, when you see a lot of good signs as a rookie and top 10 performances, because you can use the arms and the legs, I'm all in on Justin Fields. And, you know, I don't want to compare the two because we can have a whole like debate about this, but I see so much like Trey Lance love with an even smaller sample size. And I know he's got some better weapons, and Chicago probably needs to add a receiver to replace Allen Robinson, who wasn't even really there this season. But I like Justin Fields as a more complete quarterback, in my opinion. But Justin Fields, so you guys, more red flags for you guys? Are you guys in for 2022?
I'm in, buddy. I mean, I actually, like, I was in on him before this past season. I thought he was going to take the job, and I thought he was going to hold the job for the season. I actually had him ranked as my quarterback 14 for 2021 going in. Went out on a limb there. lost it. That's okay. But I have him actually as my dynasty quarterback nine. And I think he offers all of that. And I think this team's going to put a very concerted effort into surrounding him with the pieces that he needs. I'm having a look right now, and they have just under 25 mil in cap space projected. So I think they can put a little bit around him. And then hopefully if they have a good draft class, David Montgomery's looked really good as well. So I think those two sharing a backfield is going to be pretty dynamite for a few years running.
Christian, any thoughts on Justin Fields?
No, I don't think we did not disagree anywhere there either. I mean, from week six on, that's when he really, you know, opened up the rushing ability too. And he was averaging like 56 yards a game from then on. So he was really showcasing what he was able to do in Ohio State. And coming out of this draft, you know, to me personally, I thought he was one of the better overall quarterbacks coming out of that class. You know, a lot of people are comparing him now to Trey Lance, and I just think he's a better player at the position than Trey Lance. Because Trey Lance is so raw. You know, he really only had one full year as a quarterback. I love Justin Fields, and the fact that he was able to do what he did in a Matt Nagy offense that was built around Andy Dalton. Going week one, he got benched for Andy Dalton. I mean, come on. He was set up to fail from the beginning, and he still, you know, made the best out of what he had. Yeah, he had a lot of turnovers, but like I said, that offense wasn't meant for him. Like, those play calls were very conservative. It really didn't allow for him to open up and really use his rushing with the combination of throwing the ball downfield to Mooney. And, you know, we saw that connection, short spurts of it, but, you know, we saw that. And we saw that Mooney was able to be a featured part of that offense too. And David Montgomery got better as the season went along. He's really established himself in that offense. Allen Robinson was a joke out there on the field, and there are a lot of reports saying he didn't want to be there, and he made sure he didn't make that known. But now they're going to go into an offseason. They're going to get him some weapons. They've got a new head coach. They're going to build that system around them. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I was talking the other day on Twitter about how the Bears just like look good going into next season, that they're in such a good spot. And it's just now it's just who they bring around him and how they're able to go forward.
Hey, you mentioned the phrase twice about building an offense around him. And I don't think that was ever the case if we looked at the way the team ran this year. And obviously I'm a Bears fan, so I pay, you know, even more attention to things. And when you watch those games, you look at, you know, systems where, you know, Jalen Hurts was in I'm trying to think, Lamar Jackson when he's healthy, and you see how these teams, you know, set their quarterback up in a system that, you know, shows their talents. And Justin Fields being in the same exact sort of playbook as Andy Dalton and Nick Foles this season, that's what we saw. So I think that that's going to be big for them to build this offense around him.
Yeah, for sure.
Going to the running back position now. So let's shift things over there. A guy you are targeting this offseason. And Travel, go back to you.
Giddy up, buddy. Yeah. Somebody who I'm targeting just because I think he's kind of perennially undervalued, and that would be Aaron Jones. I think for our money on the True North Fantasy Pod, and if you've been listening to us, my co-host Ty is even a bigger fan of Aaron Jones than I am. But I just think this guy's been kind of the efficiency god of the past half decade on a per touch basis, you know, and he's been relatively healthy for the most part, misses a few games here and there. But I think the key that you're looking at with Aaron Jones is just how efficient he can be on not having the same workload as your peak Saquon Barkley, peak Ezekiel Elliott. You know what I mean? He doesn't get that kind of work, and you just kind of have to resign to the fact that he's not going to be getting that work. But if you look, I think he's still going to be the 1A in Green Bay. I took a look at games where AJ Dillon still saw 10 carries and had a look at what Aaron Jones did. And if you take a look, there's 8 games where he didn't have 10 carries, AJ Dillon, and 7 games where he did. And Aaron Jones only lost about a half a point per game on a PPR basis when AJ Dillon's getting all of that work. He actually increased his per game receiving touchdowns a little bit less on the target front, right around the same on rushing touchdowns though, and right about the same as far as rushing yards for Aaron Jones when AJ Dillon gets the work. And the reason I'm looking at that is because that's the future for Aaron Jones. AJ Dillon is going to be a factor in this backfield, but I think Aaron Jones finishing as the running back 11 this year, running back 13 in a points per game basis, if he's doing that in a timeshare, that's a guy I'm going out to get. Obviously, you're not going to be looking at last year's ADP for Aaron Jones. I wouldn't want him at that price either, but for the price that we're probably going to see him at, especially when we get into redraft season, I think Aaron Jones is going to be a really nice value. And then even if he were to move on from that dynasty perspective, I think he can give you kind of what you're seeing from like DeAndre Swift or even a little bit of Alvin Kamara in New Orleans, is that really hyper-efficient receiving back who doesn't need 225 carries. Give him 150 and then 85 to 90 targets, and he's going to be a running back one for you. So Aaron Jones, I think, is one of the cheapest guys who offers you that, and so that's why I think for me he would be a dynasty target, especially because a lot of people are seeing that he has a little bit of tread on the tires, and that's totally fine for me to dip into that, especially if I'm a contending team in dynasty. Much like your show, Nick, I always like to play to win, and so these are guys I'm trying to go out and acquire to make sure that I can kind of stay up in that upper echelon of my leagues.
And I think the world of the pass catching running back is massive, and I feel like, you know, I think A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are going to have value in their own ways, but I feel like what's talked about more so in this situation is that it's a committee, right? And A.J. Dillon's taken touches away from Aaron Jones, but I don't think what's talked about enough is you look at the pass-catching numbers, and he had so many games this season of five-plus catches. I mean, he had weeks where he caught six or seven passes, and he had a three-receiving touchdown game, and then he went back-to-back weeks and weeks 14 and 15 with a receiving touchdown. And you mentioned DeAndre Swift, who's like my favorite guy in the space. But, you know, when I think of a guy who's in a system that might lack pass catchers next season, because there's a possibility, and we don't want to make everything hypothetical, but there's a possibility of a world where maybe Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are not on this team, and you need a guy like a DeAndre Swift who's going to get a receiver role on this team. It's Aaron Jones, and his pass catching ability and his pass catching numbers, I don't think get talked about nearly enough. And it's important because we love the Ecklers and the Swifts and the Najee Harrises that get the passing work, but we don't talk about Aaron Jones in that way. Christian, we got to get your thoughts, and this will be interesting because, you know, I peeked at the show sheet and it looks like we're talking about the same backfield here, but let's dive into it.
Now, I definitely think Aaron Jones is going to be a huge benefactor of Aaron Rodgers leaving that offense. Mm-hmm. Because if it is Jordan Love, Aaron Jones is going to be that. He's going to be so much more involved in that passing game than ever before. Because, I mean, we saw it in that Chiefs game when Jordan Love got that start. Did not look comfortable, cannot throw the ball downfield. He's going to have those checkdowns. And they don't really have a tight end there. So, you know, Aaron Jones is going to be that guy. But like you said, I'm staying in the same backfield, and I'm saying A.J. Dillon. I mean, A.J. Dillon this year, his sophomore season totaled over 1,100 yards, seven touchdowns, and he became involved in the pass game. And he's that red zone running back for the Packers this season. They just really showed how confident they were in him moving forward. You know, this is a dynamic backfield. It doesn't really get talked about a lot because a lot of people, you know, are kind of soured on Aaron Jones. But it's kind of the same thing you see with like Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard in Dallas. You know, everybody just it's all recency bias. Nobody really thinks of the fact that Ezekiel Elliott still ended as an RB1 this season, but he played three quarters of the year with a torn PCL. And he still produced, he still gets those touchdowns. And that's the biggest thing in fantasy. But you think dynasty, you know, you think a year or two ahead. And that's why I pick A.J. Dillon. And that's why I actually went out and I acquired another share of A.J. Dillon this offseason. Just based off of this, because just the increased usage in both the rushing and the passing, if Aaron Rodgers does leave, he's going to be more of that, you know, running back for that team. So he's going to get the more carries. He's going to get those red zone touches. He's going to continue to get the red zone touchdowns. So I'm all in on A.J. Dillon, and I'm buying now before that spike hits, especially, you know, now towards the end. And right now before draft starts, you know, drafts. And then as you get closer, people are going to get really into these draft picks. And, you know, you might not feel comfortable. You might not know who you're going to want to pick at that. You know, that's when you trade it for somebody that's already proven, established, has a role that's growing on a team. And that's when I'm going, and I'm scooping even more shares of A.J. Dillon.
And it is interesting to think about, you know, what this team's going to look like next season. And again, we don't want to speculate about moves that we have no idea that may or may not happen. But could it shift into, you know, more of a Cleveland approach? I don't know. I don't know if both Rodgers and Devontae Adams are gone. Could it be like a Chubb and, you know, Kareem Hunt sort of backfield where they're the importance of this team? I mean, there's a world where that can happen. And A.J. Dillon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, his last 5 regular season games carry the ball for 4.5 yards per carry or better in 4 out of 5 of those. And, you know, some were more low volume games, but he was pretty efficient with what he did get at times. And go ahead.
Yep. I mean, the PFF, he was the number 2 rated running back according to PFF this year behind some dude named Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy once.
An 87 grade for Taylor, an 86.9, nice, for A.J. Dillon. I mean, that's not bad. It's pretty good company.
I like that. And, tons of red zone work, too. And there's tons of work to go around. Sorry to jump in there, Nick. Like,
I'm
looking right now, like, between those two, they had 71 red zone carries, 39 for A.J. Yeah. Dillon, 32 for Aaron Jones. Like, that is plenty for both of these guys to eat. A.J. Dillon got 38 targets this season. So I think, like, the beauty of it is it's the same coaching staff.
38, too.
Yeah, well, and I think they've been trying to run that Browns offense, like you're saying. I think that's kind of what LaFleur wants to come in and do a little bit of, Nick. But he's had Aaron Rodgers there as kind of the guy who wants to run the show. So I think if Aaron Rodgers does leave, I think we're going to see what you were alluding to is a really, really nice combination attack.
And I do want to read some comments in the chat because we got some awesome ones coming in. And we got David Mendy. I sing the P2W theme song to my wife when I'm trying to get her in the mood. So we're getting some interesting ones in here. There's another guy, MJ23, wants to phone in. You can comment in the chat there. We don't have that availability tonight.
You didn't show my comment as the response to David.
There we go. I show mine pictures of Nick. There we go.
So he plays the P2W theme. I just show that stud Nicholas.
I wish I knew what to do. You guys have some good ideas at work, but nothing works for me. So I'll have to sort it out.
Married life, brother. Married life.
But running back. So mine. I'll shift it to mine before we move on. I wrote J.K. Dobbins, who, again, at this point of the year is the price still, you know, where it used to be, maybe, but also, you know, we saw a full season without J.K. Dobbins. Following the bye his rookie year, you know, the usage went up. He had 6 games of 13 plus fantasy points, 18.5 and 28 fantasy weeks as well. It seemed like at one point his floor was kind of safe when he was getting the work. A big thing for me is seeing Devonta Freeman this year getting tons of work. It wasn't like this huge, you know, Murray and Freeman and Bell are all getting 10 touches each. There was a point where Freeman looked like a workhorse, and he also was getting a bunch of passing work at times. And I think Dobbins is a guy who can do both. So seeing some of those signs of one guy getting a lot of touches, one guy getting some passing work as well, I think that was good. And I think that, you know, we talked about Lamar Jackson. I think with this team, you know, being better in the passing department because of guys like Bateman and Mark Andrews being so good and Hollywood Brown improving his play a bit, I think that'll also open up things for Dobbins in this coming season. And, you know, if I have Elijah Mitchell, if I have Zeke, Fournette, Michael Carter, I might like take those guys and say, you know, how could I start with one of these guys and get to Dobbins for a dynasty trade? That's some guys I might start, you know, my offers with and see where things go. But again, he hasn't played in a long time, and seeing what Freeman did and seeing what he did in his rookie season, I like J.K. Dobbins in this coming year. But I'm curious to hear what your guys' thoughts are. If you guys are in, if you're a little skeptical, and Christian, we'll go with you, and then we'll shift to Trav after.
It just let people get excited about the Breece Halls, about the Isaiah Spillers. And I got the 101 in a draft. I've got the 102, 103 in another draft. I'm trading those picks for J.K. Dobbins. If I need to, I'll trade the 101 for J.K. Dobbins. Like you said, the way that they were using Devontae Freeman in the past game, like, that man became relevant again. He was nothing coming into this year. They signed him off the couch to come and play with them, and he became such a big part of that offense. And that's going to be something that's going to be fun to watch. I love the Ravens offense, just watching them when they're all clicking. And, you know, I was really big on J.K. Dobbins coming into this year, seeing what he was finally able to do, and it sucked when he got hurt. But no, I'm I would definitely trade a high first for J.K. Dobbins right now. Easy.
Trev, yeah. What's your thoughts on Dobbins? I feel like he's the guy we talked about on your show before a while ago.
I affectionately coined him the Dob Goblin. He's one of my favorite running backs in the entire league. And I love what you said about the Devonta Freeman passing game work, because I think if J.K. Dobbins can get some of that, we're going to find out that he's probably one of the best receiving running backs in the entire NFL. He's going to bring one of the most explosive skill sets to the table. He's in an offense that wants to run the ball a lot. My co-host Ty has coined the Jackson 5 rule, and that means that running backs in a backfield with Lamar Jackson are going to give you 5 yards per carry, and J.K. Dobbins is going to do that. He's going to offer a lot more explosive plays than the guys that we've seen in there, and I just think, you know, much like you said, Christian, go out and acquire him for any of these hot names, because he's going to pop off, and he's going to pop off big. One of those guys who's only going to need 40 targets to give you a running back one overall season. He's going to be a threat to lead the league in rushing every single season. He's going to be a threat to score a touchdown on every single touch that he gets. So, yeah, big Dob Goblin fan over here, buddy.
Yeah, and then another thing is, like, when I think of what that offense could potentially be, I think back to RG3, his rookie season, when they really brought back the RPO, and being able to use Lamar and J.K. Dobbins in that RPO, and then have the downfield threat of Hollywood Brown, then have that big receiving threat and Rashad Bateman down the sidelines, Mark Andrews in the middle of the field. Like, this is going to be an offense that, you know, this year they might have disappointed, but I think a big thing of that was their defense and the fact that they lost every single playmaker on their defense, like right when the season started, and then their backups got, they won for 2 points because they didn't have defensive backs to go into overtime. They didn't have healthy defensive backs left on their roster. Like, that's the level that they were at on that defense. So, you know, this season they're all going to get healthy. Lamar's going into that contract year, so if you believe in that, you know he's going to pop off this year. It's going to be fun. Give me all the shares of everybody on that offense. I'm going to go and I'm going to pick up Devin Duvernay off the waiver wire now.
Oh boy,
love Devin Duvernay.
It looks. I mean, with everybody healthy next season, it looks more like a complete offense versus an offense that we all thought was like starting to get a little predictable, right? So I think we're all on the same page there. About 47 minutes in, let's go to the wide receiver target picks here. I want to make sure we all get ours in here. Christian, who's your guy? So it's the deepest position in fantasy, right? I see a wide range of names throughout on fantasy Twitter all the time. And guys are going back and forth with, you know, agreeing, disagreeing. So curious to hear your guys' picks here.
Yeah, so me, it's pretty simple. It's going to be a guy that I think is going to be the biggest benefactor of a change in the at the quarterback position. And I said benefactor because Big Ben is gone. And I think Chase Claypool is going to go off this season. You know, no more dink and dunk, none of that. He's going to get a quarterback, whether it's Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins. If it's one of those two, they got to show out. If they bring in a Jimmy G, if they bring in a Mitchell Trubisky, they're going to go and they're going to throw the ball further downfield. I mean, anybody could throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield, and it's going to be more than Big Ben. But you give him a chance to really run downfield, throw him the ball, let him catch the ball up at peak point. And, you know, you can see, I'm not comparing the two at all because T. Higgins is that guy. But that's the kind of, like, effect that he can have on an offense. You know, have Deontay Johnson play closer to the line of scrimmage, let him create plays on his own. And just let him catch the ball at the high point. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's physical. You know, a lot of things that got people excited of him coming out of Notre Dame. And you can go out there right now. You can get Chase Claypool for like a second round pick. And I'm doing that all day. I don't care where in the second round. If I got to give up 201, if I got to give up 110, I'm okay doing that. 110 to 112, I'm okay doing that. I just think that, you know, we're finally going to be able to see, like, that one game where he had 4 touchdowns, you know, he really popped off on the scene and really gave a name for himself. Then I'm excited to see what a new quarterback, a new offensive system, a new game plan with him involved in it can show.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of move they make, you know, in Pittsburgh. But you'd have to think that somebody who can push the ball down the field, that'd be to his benefit, right? I'm not gonna compare him directly to like a Mike Williams, but could he be like this big athletic guy that makes these plays over the top with the right quarterback? That'll be interesting to see. Trav Mapletron, what's your thoughts on him before you dive into your guy?
You already know, Nick. You already know. That's good Canadian
content right there.
Yeah. Chase Claypool really keeps his stick on the ice, kids. You know what I'm saying? And gives her 110 as he's going into the boards. No, I love Chase Claypool. I've got him as my dynasty wide receiver 18. I was having a look as you were chatting there, Christian, and I've got him ahead of guys like Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Mike Evans, Elijah Moore. Like, I've got him right up there because this guy can do a lot of that stuff on his own. He's just a lot bigger dude doing it. Like a couple seasons ago, Eagles fan, he torched him for 4 touchdowns. One of them was a fade to the back of the end zone. One of them was a reverse near the goal line. Chase Claypool can do it all. He's really, really good. And we've seen him do it with this garbage 5 yards average depth of target quarterback play. And we're going to see better than that. It might be a little bit more YOLO ball if you get like a Mason Rudolph or a Haskins in there, but I think Chase Claypool is a guy that benefits from YOLO ball on that Pittsburgh offense. I think in that event, we see Deontay Johnson maybe taking a little bit of a dip and some more of those spike weeks from old Mapletron. He's actually from about an hour and a half ferry ride away from where I'm at. So he is near and dear to our heart as a Canadian kid there.
Yeah, what if they get a Jameis? Imagine him with Jameis. That's like a Mike Evans connection.
That's best case Ontario right there, man. That is the best case Ontario.
That'd be scary. Trav, before your pick, let's answer this question real quick here. If OBJ re-signs with the Rams, is he a sneaky under-the-radar buy as a possession receiver machine? And either one of you guys can chime in for this. What's your thoughts?
Go ahead, Christian.
I don't think so. They've got... You know, Matthew Stafford, that offense produced threw the ball 72% of the time this year. We saw a historic season from Cooper Kupp where he was producing numbers that any other receiver would be a career high, just with the difference between his previous career high and now. And they're going to get Robert Woods back. Van Jefferson is going to be a bigger part of that offense. Cam Akers is going to be a bigger part of that offense. Tyler Higbee, who knows? Jake Harris. I'm a big, still, you know, believer in Harris, so I'm still trying to get whatever shares I can of him in Dynasty. But if OBJ re-signs, he's going to play a role, obviously, but they've got so many mouths to feed in that offense. And like I said, Cam Akers is going to be a big part of it going forward.
Trav, are you in agreement or do you disagree?
I would have to disagree, and not like – because like I love Odell and I love him in this offense. And I think with a full season with Matt Stafford, he can be that guy. But I totally see those concerns about Robert Woods and all of the other really good pass catching weapons, including the running backs there. But I think this is just an offense that I want pieces of, is kind of what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily buying Odell because I think Odell is going to be a smash top 20 wide receiver in that situation, because I don't think I would think that way. But I think he's a guy where if the price was right, I would be willing to dip my toes in, because that's a passing game with Matt Stafford that I want pieces of. But totally glaring red flags that price might be a little bit too high just off of name value alone and re-signing with the Rams, who are in the Super Bowl this week. So I totally see your point, Christian. I would go in on Odell. I've been saying that for a few weeks here, that I would be totally into getting some Odell, but I see the red flags with him for sure. Maybe some brown flags too.
Hey, there we go.
Whatever he's into, reference. Right?
Whatever he's into. But I will say, Trav, I think you were pretty much touching on the same thing. If you are in on OBJ, now is not the time to go and get him. He's not, because everybody and their mother and grandma and sister are going to be watching him play on Sunday to go and trade for him like this week or next week or even the week after. You got to kind of wait for, you know, the Super Bowl jitters and the excitement to kind of die out. Same with any Bengals players right now. You know, I'm all for going and getting, you want to go get T. Higgins this offseason, go get him. But it can't be right now, because values are, you know, at their peaks when you're watching these guys on TV at the highest stage. So that's a good question. I'm going to say definitely go out and buy OBJ, because I'm in a league with John and I think he wants him from me in that league. So I'm going to say absolutely go pay now, high for that guy.
Now, would you guys rather have, not knowing offensive next year, but just think this season coming up, would you rather have OBJ, Mike Williams, or like a Michael Gallup? Kind of think of them in the similar role, like, because, you know, they're really good receivers, really talented, they make plays everywhere on the field, But, you know, you got to take into consideration if OBJ re-signs, you know, Mike Williams is going to go sign somewhere else and be the number one. And if Michael Gallup, even in a you know, receive in an offense where he's not even the alpha wide receiver, he still produces when he's on the field. You know, so that's it. What do you guys
Michael think Gallup there? Is like one good landing Michael spot Gallup. Away from being at the top of that list. But I think for me, I'm just looking at my rankings just to kind of stay true here. Mike Williams is my wide receiver 20 in Dynasty. Yeah, so I think it goes Mike Williams, Michael Gallup, Odell for me. But Michael Gallup could jump Mike Williams if he lands in a good landing spot. I think he is less one-dimensional than is Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams' best case scenario is to stay in L.A.
Like, what if Gallup goes to, like, Chicago or something? He gets Justin Fields.
I think I like that.
Yeah, I tweeted out like a while ago just as a Chicago fan. When he was healthy, I was like, Michael Gallup's going to look great catching balls from Justin Fields. But I think it might kind of have to do with maybe your goal for this next season in Dynasty, because Gallup, you know, I don't know when he's going to – is he going to start at the beginning of the season? You know, is he going to have to miss some time recovering? I don't know what his timeline is for that. Where is he going to go? Obviously, he's the younger of these guys, and I'm pretty sure he's 25, I believe. You know, you might need some more patience with Gallup, whereas, you know, OBJ might cost a little less. But then if you're a contender, you might say, hey – maybe, you know, Van Jefferson's another year out of actually being more relevant. And maybe, you know, Woods is not going to be Woods right away in this system. And they're going to try to run it back, you know, to the Super Bowl. Maybe that's why I'm targeting, you know, OBJ over Gallup. I guess it really just depends on your timelines for, you know, why you want to target these guys, which is kind of like a cop-out answer. But that's just kind of how I'd go about it.
Yeah.
But Trav, I want to make sure we get your receiver, yeah. your target, man.
All good, brother. Yeah. My target right now is definitely a target for a contending team, because a little bit longer in the tooth, but that would be DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And I just think people are snoozing on Nuke a little bit. He had a pretty bad year. He only played 10 games this season. I get that. In those 10 games, four of those performances were top 15. The other six were outside the top 20. Totally get that. It was a really weird volume year for Nuke as well, with all those other options in Arizona. He only had about 20% of his team targets, whereas over the five seasons prior, he had 31% of his team's targets, which is like absolutely otherworldly. So very weird volume year for Nuke. This year he had, along with that, 20% of the team's targets only once, and or only five times out of the 10, so half of his games. And he hit that like over 80% of the time in the season prior with Kyler Murray. So I think the positives for me as why I'm going after Nuke is for all those reasons, because people are going to think he's old and busted, but I think his situation is about to get a lot better in Arizona. They have like everybody and their dog becoming a free agent with AJ Green, Christian Kirk, James Conner, Zach Ertz, Chase Edmonds. I'm probably missing a couple. So look out for my Andy Isabella resurgence piece, folks. Kidding. I just think that the situation is going to get good for Nuke. He's a guy who's in line for 150 plus targets. And if you can get that guy for less than 150 target prices, you're going out and smashing that, especially if you want to win some titles. So that's what I'm going out to do. Nuke scored 8 touchdowns in 10 games played. Like, that is just a glimpse of the upside alongside his previous volume is, you know, top 5 wide receiver in my book.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will start to look at him or May after the season and say, well, you know, he's not that young anymore. And, oh, you know, he's not that young. Plus, he was hurt a lot this past season. And that's how you kind of capitalize sometimes on guys selling far too low for guys that are still obviously talented when healthy. And I like the situation you talked about, because Christian Kirk, I don't think Christian Kirk's going to be back, right? And, you know, AJ Green is going to be maybe, you know, driving off into the sunset or something like that. And, you know, Rondale Moore showed his flashes, but again, he's not like this alpha, you know, wide receiver one dog right now. He does just nothing pointed in that direction. So I think he does have a clear opportunity again to go for, like you said, 150 targets. And if you're paying, you know, a lower price for a guy who's done it, you know, a shit ton of times, then, but I could see both sides of some things too. So I'm curious to hear what Christian thinks. Are you with Trav on this, or do you have a different perspective?
Hey, there's a reason why Carolina faltered, and not Carolina, Arizona faltered towards the end of the season. And you think it's a coincidence that it was right around the time where DeAndre Hopkins went down with his injury? No, I mean, he's a baller. When he's on the field, he makes that difference. And especially if you're going into this next season contending, so many DeAndre Hopkins owners have soured on him. I've seen some startup mocks going where, I mean, he's falling behind guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, that's the kind of recency bias that you got to go through, you know, in Dynasty, you know, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs. And I'm 100% in on buying DeAndre Hopkins, especially at the price that he's going for now. It's ridiculous.
We got Trav putting a number on here. We're trying to get got some guys in the
Nick's home phone.
Oh, here we go. We got a question. We'll take this question. Russell Wilson to the Titans, Bucks, Steelers. You guys think that this is a possibility?
Russell Wilson staying.
I think
Seattle.
He stays in Seattle. To be honest with you, I think when it boils down to it, he's just going to end up staying. If I had to choose one, I'd choose Steelers.
Yeah, if I had to choose one, I'd love to see him in the Steelers. That would be a ton of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think I'm with Trav. I think he's going to end up staying there, to be honest. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, we got a long off season here. I do want to get, as we close things out, your guys, your Super Bowl prediction. My guy, and I'll talk more about him another time, I threw Calvin Ridley on the sheet because I feel like there's so much nervousness that his value has just gone so far down. I was in a big like analyst draft with like a bunch of guys from fantasy Twitter, and I drafted him in I think the late sixth round, Calvin Ridley. And you know, the season prior, he's probably going in like, I don't know, the third or fourth maybe. It keeps slipping, and this is a guy, you know, back in 2020, 8 games over 100 yards. Played weeks 1 through 14 in 2019, was wide receiver 8 during that time. Even this season, weeks 2 through 4, he had 10-plus targets, and he scored somewhere in the 14 to almost 20-point range. So, obviously, he's talented, but there's big question marks about, you know, is he going to come back? Is he going to be on the Falcons? He's 27, people will say, which, again, he's got plenty of years to play. But I really think his price is so much lower right now because of all these question marks that you can really trade a small amount of value to get something that could be an explosion of a return if he does play. What do you guys think about Calvin Ridley before we close things out pretty soon here?
Go ahead, sir.
27 for a wide receiver. This is when he's about to break out. That's when all these breakout years for receivers happen. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of mental health and people, you know, taking a step back and doing what they need to do to get their mind right, because that's huge. And it goes understated so much, and people put athletes on a platform and they need to understand that they're people too. So, you know, kudos to him for taking that step back and doing what he needs to do. But I ultimately think he's gone from Atlanta, and I think he's going to put himself in a better situation, whether it's with the Patriots. I've seen rumors of maybe Jacksonville, the Eagles, any one of those places. And I think he's just going to – it's the refresh that he needs. And he's an elite talent. He was able to produce elite numbers even with Julio Jones on the field. Like, it's incredible. Like, good. He got his break. He was able to take a step back, really focus on himself. And now he's going to come out. He's going to ball this year. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go trade a pick for him, because – everybody's just so scared of him. I'll take that chance.
Trav, any thoughts on Calvin Ridley? I got a couple guys I'm going to throw out to you guys too after.
Pretty much the same boat there. Like, I'm a little bit worried about, you know, when he's going to come back. Obviously, I don't know if it's necessarily a lock that he comes back for 2022, but he probably does. And that new situation is very, very curious, because I don't think he's going to be back on the Falcons. But historically, I've been a lover of the Riddler, so I hope you guys are right.
I'm on Ross St. Brown or Calvin Ridley. Who would you rather have?
Calvin Dynasty? Ridley. Give me Calvin Ridley all day.
Christian, same or no?
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I mean, I think that's like a good, like, we all know how much he's been talked about. Like, could you take him on Ross St. Brown and like give him straight up for Calvin Ridley? I think there's a shot you might be able to, depending on your league.
Do it now.
Gabe Davis plus something for Calvin Ridley, something small. Can you just go like shoot that offer out?
I would need something fat alongside Gabe Davis if I'm giving up
Calvin. I'd probably, need Gabe Davis and maybe like a late first.
I would still got Calvin Ridley as a top 30 dynasty wide receiver, right around guys like Rondale Moore, Brandon Ayuk, Keenan Allen kind of thing.
I'm with you. I think my point, though, is like when these like young guys get all this buzz, can you take that nervousness about Calvin Ridley and capitalize on it? I think those are two guys.
Know your lead. Like,
What about Calvin Ridley or Devontae Smith?
Devontae Smith for me. Birds fan, though.
I'm a Cowboys fan.
I think I might lean Smith, too, I think. What do you think, Christian?
It's close. They're literally back-to-back on my rankings. Yeah, like, you could flip a coin, and I would take either of those two. I think the upside is there for both of them. Obviously, you know, the quarterback plays a big role in that. But with any of those, coin flip, like I said, I'd take either.
Yeah.
Did you say Cowboys fan, Christian?
No.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said that. Whatever. Yeah, that's what I said.
He's like Kevin. I had to deal with Kevin all season too, man.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Cowboys fan.
Hey,
we both had lots of heartache recently, buddy. So I'm not shitting on Cowboys fans right now.
Yeah, I shit on myself. I'm so down on it. Like I just go into every season, and I already know at the end it's automatic disappointment. So I just enjoy the little things as we build up to it. And then as soon as I feel that peak, like if I feel anything more than just, you know, I'm just enjoying this, I have to make sure I catch myself and start bringing myself back down to earth so I'm not too hurt.
I love it. I'm a Bears fan, man. I mean, we can all go back and forth about the same topic. Yeah. I do want to close things out. Give me the answer to this question and your Super Bowl pick. So I'll read this question out if you're listening on the podcast. Guy's pretty much saying he's putting some heavy money down on and he says at the end, I trust y'all. So he trusts us here. But he said he's putting some heavy money down on the captain challenge, right, for DraftKings. And he, you know, asks who should be that captain in the Super Bowl. Cup, Chase, OBJ, Higgins, Burrow. He's nervous about who to select there. So as we close the show out, give me two things. If you were playing DraftKings, who would your captain be for that captain slot? And then for two, who is your pick to win the Super Bowl? And we don't have to dive crazy deep. I'm sure you guys will be talking about it all week. But Trav, give me both those answers.
That is very hard. I would love to see T. Higgins be that guy because I think you know, you're probably going to have a lot of people with Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase as that. But I think like I would probably have to go a little bit safe and go for Cooper Kupp and try and deviate on my lineup a little bit down the depth chart because I just, if I'm forking up in the captain spot, I really want that guaranteed big, big spot. And I think Cooper Kupp's the guy, but man, that's a tough one, man. I don't bet $500. So it just like, I don't throw down $500 bets on one lineup. So it's making me nervous just answering your question there, MJ, but good luck, buddy.
Yeah, I was about to say I got a couple underdog basketball picks right now. They're all for $5. I'm not betting like this, but I think Trav brings a good point. Christian, what's your pick again? Who's gonna win the Super Bowl and who's your captain slot pick if you were playing?
Yeah, I mean if it, you know, you want to be safe, you obviously put Cooper Kupp, but if you want to be different, you know, you go for the T. Higgins, you go for the OBJs, throw Evan McPherson in the captain spot. The man is savage.
Oh man.
Can you imagine putting Evan McPherson in your captain spot and just watching him continue to just do what he's done and just go out there right before, just point at the camera, look at you and be like, I got you, MJ. Boom.
Boom.
There you go.
That'd be pretty cool.
Straight cash, homie. That is
as the Bengals walk off and win Super Bowl 54.
Nice. Hey, I didn't get my pick in. I'm going Rams.
Rams. So Christian, you're saying Bengals then?
I'm saying Bengals. I'm saying T. Higgins and Ja'Marr both go over 100 too.
Oh, all right.
Big bet Joe Burrow.
All right. Well, we PGW Fantasy, we got a Super Bowl show this Sunday at some point. Going to drop the guest list there. So I'll talk more about Super Bowl stuff at that time. But thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Really, I mean, we could have BS for another hour, I feel like, but I don't want to get anybody in trouble. So we'll start with Christian, then we'll go to Trav. Remind everybody, for those that will listen to this in their car, where they can find you on Twitter or anywhere else, and then anything you want to plug that you have coming up.
Yeah, on Twitter, @CCress_26. I'm just going to finish it off. You know, I said everything I'm doing before, but I'm going to refer back to the mental health stuff. Guys, take care of yourself. That's such a big thing that a lot of people don't really think about. If you need somebody to talk to, my DMs are always open. You reach out to me. I don't care what time. I'll answer any questions you need. I don't care. You reach out to me. It's important. Make sure you guys all take care of yourselves, especially now with everything going on. You know, shit's crazy out there. Just make sure you focus on yourself and you happy. You know, everybody deserves to be happy.
All right. I think we can definitely back up that for sure. Very important and something that needs to be talked about much more just in general. Trav, same question, man. Where can we find you on Twitter if they're listening in their car? And then anything you want to plug coming up for you?
Totally. Yeah, I think that was really well put, Christian. Like, I would echo that entire sentiment. I have a lot of my own stuff that I deal with. A lot of my family deals with their own stuff too. And I think it definitely helps have people that you can kind of be open with that stuff about, and people who have shared similar experiences. So I like that you laid out that out there. Just find me at TCL14, TrueNorthFFB.com is where we're rocking out. And our biggest thing is the YouTube channel, though. Subscribe on the TNFF network, because we got 4 shows per week. The Sons of DFS guys are doing some good stuff there, and Gold Jacket Pod and the Point After Pod as well. So thanks to the whole crew, and check us out on the TNFF network, but go and subscribe to P2 Dubs on everything. YouTube, though. YouTube is kind of where we as podcasters want to mainly grow our video audience. So yeah, if you're going to go subscribe to our channel by any chance, go and check out P2 Dubs, because Nick is one of the harder working folks out here for us kind of independent brands. And I love any chance I get to interact with you, buddy. So thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate that. Check out True North and the many shows and the many faces that are tied to that brand. All great guys, guys I've had great interactions with through my time in the space. Again, like, I don't buy a ton of gear. I went out and bought some of their stuff just because, again, great people. And I love supporting guys that put in hard work. So thank you guys both for being on the show. If you guys listen live or in your cars or on the radio, whatever method, really appreciate that. Have a live show early on Sunday with some awesome guests. I'll be dropping that news probably tomorrow, the day after. But again, have a good night and enjoy the Super Bowl this week. Take care, guys.